Dialogue between the DPRK, otherwise known as North Korea, and the United States seemed impossible just a few months ago. Yet today there appears to be a potential for rapid progress on the political and security front, with the Trump administration suggesting that the summit could be held before the end of May. That's according to Tomas Ojeda Quintana, the UN's independent human rights expert covering the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Addressing the Human Rights Council in Geneva on Monday, he stressed that any negotiations with North Korea on denuclearization should go hand in hand with extending basic human rights. Mr. Ojeda Quintana spoke to Bronwyn Cowley.
Two main sections in my report. First one, the situation of prisoners in detention, in different detention facilities in the DPRK, the problem of the ill treatment of these prisoners, the problem of the lack of access to basic needs. So the situation is already very dire outside the prisons. So then the situation of the prisoners is really bad. We are talking about the detention facilities at the local level, but also labor camps and also the situation in political prison camps. With a note on this, the information about political prison camps is very little. We know that they exist, that many people are being held there, but the information is very little. The second section has to do with the situation of economic rights. So the report discusses the problem of the lack of access to adequate food. You should know, your audience should know that in the DPRK, 41% of the population, this is more than 10 million people, remain undernourished. And it is the responsibility, the primary responsibility of the DPRK to grant this fundamental human right, which is the right to access to food.
So is that what we're talking about when we talk about human rights in North Korea? Is it what you've mentioned or is there more to it?
There are a lot of other issues, of course. I report to the Human Rights Council every year. I will hold this Monday, I hope, for 6 years. So each year is different. There are other issues, of course. The lack of access to freedom of expression, the lack of access to information. You cannot access to information in the DPRK, and if you are found with the information that the system and the authorities consider is against the law, you will be sent to these detention facilities or even the political prison camps. So the problem of access to information and freedom of expression continues to be very serious. There is also an issue of freedom of movement. So it is very difficult, and there are a lot of restrictions for the people to move from one place to another in the DPRK. And then a very serious issue is the issue of the situation or how they are being treated, those who are repatriated from China to the DPRK, how they are being treated. They are being ill-treated, interrogated, abused, looking for reasons on why they left the DPRK. Many of these people are economic migrants, but they are subject to this kind of serious human rights abuses, and that's a very serious issue that it is in my report.
After decades of isolation, the country has started to open dialogue. There's perhaps a meeting that will happen before the end of May between Donald Trump, North Korea, or DPRK. How does these security meetings compare to human rights within the country?
First, let me commend these developments and commend those who are involved in these developments. The rapprochement is welcomed. I believe in the instance of dialogue and engagement opens windows for opportunities, and it's another mean to look after what we want, which is improvement, in this case in regards to the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. How this relates to the human rights is a very important question. It's a very important question. Human rights has a connection with the security issue, so you cannot disassociate one from another. And therefore, during this morning at the Human Rights Council in the United Nations, I was very clear with the member states that I am the human rights reporter of the DPRK, and I hope that the human rights is not put aside in any negotiation. And I hope that the government of the DPRK shows the same kind of willingness that he has shown in regards to the nuclear discussions with the human rights agenda, and they start to have a conversation with this reporter and even allow me to visit the country for the first time. I never visited the country.
How do you get information if you can't visit the country? How can you fulfill your mandate?
It's a very important question, because when I come here to New York, I also report in New York to the General Assembly of the United Nations. My report should be credible, you know. So I use the testimonies of those who escape the DPRK. It is very important to listen to those who recently escaped. So any assessment is based on updated information, because some information about human rights abuses in the past, the DPRK has been used by the media outside as if it's the situation is taking place now. The reality is that we need to use information, updated information, and also verifiable information. That's what I'm doing. I'm talking to these SKPs. I listen to their stories, and I try to understand why they decided to leave, what's the situation on the ground. And of course, I also read and listen to those on the civil society who are working on this situation of human rights in the DPRK.